Up until now, in Mark's gospel account of Jesus' ministry, he's been in Capernaum, a coastal fishing village located on the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee. In Mark chapter 6 that we've just heard read, we find Jesus heading to the hills as he returns to his hometown of Nazareth, 20 miles southwest of Capernaum. There's always something special about going home, whether after a holiday or working away. Some of us get a very special warm feeling when returning home. But not always. Home for us as a family began in the 1970s when I began my ministry in Everton, inner city Liverpool. It was a concrete jungle, but it was home. It was where our two eldest children were born. And every time we went away and returned home, it was always with a fear of what we would find on our return. But in many ways, nothing could prepare us for 12 years later. We'd moved away, and the children wanted to see where they had been born and brought up. So we took them back to Everton. And it was a real shock to the system. There was barbed wire around the church. During the service, locked gates to protect the cars in the car park. The maternity home where they had been born was flattened. And perhaps most incredible of all, the home that we lived in, a council home, and the homes around there, built in the 70s, had had to be pulled down because Wimpy, who had built them, hadn't put in the proper foundations, and they'd fallen and began to fall into the Victorian cellars. But the people of Everton, the people of St. John Chrysostom, they were faithfully serving the Lord, witnessing to that community, and people who I'd had the privilege of seeing come to Christ were going on still with him and growing in their faith and in their service. Sadly, when Jesus returns home, he finds pettiness, arrogance, and rejection. It certainly wasn't a place of pleasant memories. And one thing strikes me as I read this text. Popularity is fleeting. Popularity is fleeting. Except for the increasing hostility of the Pharisees and the scribes, Jesus' time in Capernaum was one of wide, even wild, popularity. The crowds thronged to hear him. He's the great miracle worker who heals the sick, casts out demons, calms storms, and gives life to the dead. They may not have come to grips with the full implications of Jesus' teaching, but his enormous crowd appeal was beyond question. And they listened. And they believed. But that was Capernaum. This is Nazareth. This is home. This is where one would have expected the warmest of welcomes. But there were no adoring crowds to greet him. The popularity he experienced was a thing of the past. None of it carries over to his hometown. And Mark 6 verse 2 tells us that Jesus goes to Nazareth synagogue and teaches just as he did in Capernaum. And I'm sure that his teaching in Nazareth was no different from that in Capernaum. Wherever he went, Jesus preached that the kingdom of God was at hand, that they were to repent and believe. But he also says the door is narrow. The way is straight that leads to eternal life. He preached a lifestyle of holiness and moral discernment. He didn't shrink back from announcing God's judgment upon those who were unable or unwilling to see this truth and to believe it. A faithful preacher does that. He preaches the truth regardless of where he is or who he's with. He doesn't alter his core message to suit the tastes of the crowd. He proclaims God's word without hesitation or qualification. And if declaring God's word leaves people with profound gratitude for grace, then he rejoices. If declaring God's word leaves people angry and resentful, he's saddened. But he does not alter or apologize for his message. His popularity waxes and wanes, but his message remains the same. The time of his ministry may be turbulent, but his declaration of God's truth remains constant. And if that is true for the preacher, then we certainly see that it's true for Jesus. And it must be true for us. Our church, St. Lawrence Biddulph, our church is tasked with the message of preaching Jesus and his kingdom to the people of this community. For many of us, we call it home. You see, we're called not just to follow, not just to believe the word of God, but also to be active and to trust that God will be faithful in the knowledge that he who calls us will equip us. We preach the gospel message whether it's well received or whether it provokes hostility or perhaps more often yawns of indifference. The desire to be popular or liked must not compromise the message that we proclaim to this community by the lives we live and by the words we speak. The crowds in Capernaum and in Nazareth were astonished. But their attitudes towards Jesus could not be more different. Remember the awe in Capernaum in Mark chapter 1. What is this? They said. What is this? A new teacher with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him. But that sense of awe isn't found in Nazareth. Arrogance rather than awe marks its reaction. Listen to the question that the Nazarites asked. Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is he not this the carpenter's son? Isn't this the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. They're saying, he's just an ordinary fella. He's one of us. He's from this, our hometown. Why should we believe what he's saying? Their questions were not pleasant questions. They were not really looking for the answers that Jesus was seeking to give them. Mark sums up the attitude of the Nazarenes when he says, and they took offense at him. Which leads Jesus to declare, a prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. Earlier, we know from our reading of Mark's Gospel in chapter 3 that even Jesus' own family had concluded that he'd lost his mind. And now his own hometown rejects him. And ultimately Jesus knows that Israel will reject him. And yet his gospel of the kingdom will spread, he knows, to the ends of the earth through those who believe in him and follow his teaching and trust his promises. Like the prophets of old, Israel should have treasured Jesus and his message. And instead, what do? They despise him. Perhaps this is the perfect example of familiarity breeds contempt. Sadly, we too often find it difficult to receive the truth from those who are closest to us. And the flip side of that coin is that those who are closest to us often find it most difficult to receive the truth of the gospel from us. Home. Home is perhaps the most difficult place to witness for Jesus. your children. Your grandchildren. Your brother. Your sister. Your parents. Home is often the most difficult place to witness. And our home community, our friends who we grew up at school with, our neighbours who've known us since we were just this high, our colleagues, those we go to the pub with on a Friday, those we spend time with at U3A, or in the art club, or at the gym. Home is often the most difficult place to witness to our faith. It's interesting. This is the only time that Mark records that the Son of God was amazed at their response. And yet no other response would fit that situation. Nazareth's very salvation is in their midst, and yet they reject him. And the door of the kingdom is shut to them. For some of them, forever. And Jesus can only shake his head in astonishment. As far as we know from the scriptures, Jesus never returns to Nazareth. Home is the most difficult place to witness. And Mark records an interesting consequence of their reaction to Jesus. And he could do no mighty work in Nazareth, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And yet Jesus' rejection in Nazareth sets the stage for the first missionary endeavours of Jesus' disciples, as Jesus calls them to be fishers of men. And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. I wonder how they felt. They had seen Jesus rejected. They had seen his own home community turn away from him. They wouldn't be under any illusion that sometimes a lukewarm reception will meet them as they travel. Their work will always be arduous, and many lonely and painful days were ahead of them. Perhaps they became even more aware that just as Israel rejected the old covenant of the prophets, just as many rejected Jesus, so they too would meet frequent rebuffs. But go they will, and they will go with authority over the powers of darkness, because they go in the name of Jesus. Jesus called and sent them. His authority, not their personal strengths or gifts, assure them that they will fulfill their mission. And we, you and I, we have to have faith that by the power of His name, our efforts will accomplish the purpose that He intends. Oh, there'll be difficulties. There will be rejections. But go, we are instructed to do. And to preach the message we are asked to do. And yes, it will be most difficult in our homes and in our home community. And perhaps Jesus knew that that would be so for him. But he still went. He gave them the opportunity to accept or reject. He didn't choose simply to say, "It's too difficult. I won't try here." We are called to witness. And yes, the most difficult place is home. Because they know us like no one else knows us. They know our warts. They know our failings. They know who we are. But they've also seen perhaps how we've changed through our faith. And unless we are willing to share the message of the gospel in our homes, amongst our family and our friends and our home community of Biddulph, then they will be unable to make that choice to accept or to reject. It's not for us to make the decision for them. The time for decision had arrived for the disciples. Would they accept his instruction to go out, to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics? How should the disciples handle a rejection that they know perhaps will occur in certain towns, and perhaps most certainly amongst their home and their family and their friends? Jesus says, "If any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." He doesn't say, "Pass that house by, cross over the road." And by shaking the dust off their sandals, the disciples distance themselves from the unbelief of the community and from the judgment that will inevitably come. But they have been faithful. And so, forearmed with the authority of Jesus and forewarned of the difficulties that they will face, the disciples hit the road. And the result of their stepping out in faith, we read, "They went out and proclaimed that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them." just as they were called upon to witness and to trust that God would bless their work, so we too are called to witness to those who know us best, our family and our friends, even though there will be those who are unable to see beyond who we are to who Jesus is. But we are called to witness to our faith in Jesus, not just to those who are outside of that close circle of family and friends, but in particular to that circle of family and friends. Even if we know, or think we know, what their response will be. Came across this statement, and it just for me summed up what I've been trying to share. Popularity comes and goes. Civilizations rise and fall. But to the people of Jesus belongs a kingdom that cannot be shaken. May that be our assurance and our experience in the ups and downs of being living witnesses for Jesus. And especially here at home. And may we be amazed by what God can do through us. Amen.